Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hey there, and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Pull up a chair. I have one here for you at the table. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and this week we are going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Easter. I can't believe that we are already at the third Sunday of Easter. Now remember, the Easter season lasts for 50 days. It's a long period of time. And why is that? Well, it's because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is too big to be confined to one day. So the church gives us 50 days to look at the Easter, the message of Easter. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. And all of us have hope because of his resurrection. Now, today's subject, it sounds a little tough, but I want you to chill. You know, you can trust me, right? You and I, we go back a ways, hopefully. The message is repent and be converted. You know, that whole repent thing, that's a scary word. But if you were with me for our Lenten shows, we talked about that word repent. It's taken from the Greek word, and you know the Gospels were originally written in Greek. So the word repent comes from the Greek word. The original Greek word used in the Gospels is metanoia, which is a change. It's a conversion. It's an internal change. It's a turning away from one thing and moving toward another. And essentially, what the Lord is calling us to do is turn away from sin, from self-centeredness, from doing our own thing, to turn away from that and make a bit of an about face, make a shift, make a change, and turn toward him. Repent and be converted. You know, that's really what's happening and what he's calling us to do. That's the Easter message. We're going to hear this, and we're going to, in the gospel, hear from a story of what happened when the resurrected Jesus appeared to his followers. And that's pretty cool because we can learn something from this experience. So all the readings are going to be really good today, and I hope you are able to stick around for the entire show as we do each week on the Gary Zimak Show. I'd like to start it off with prayer. So if you would be so kind as to join me, I would ask you to just remember that we are in the presence of God the Father. You know, that's the really neat thing about the Father. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. That's the official word. He's with you. He's with me. And he's waiting to hear from us. You know, we don't even need to make an appointment to talk to him. Pretty amazing, right? This is the guy who runs the universe, who created the universe and keeps it in existence. We don't even have to make an appointment. He is always available for us. So let's turn now to our Father in heaven and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we come to you today as your children. We come to you with confidence, and we know that, Father, everything we ask for, if it is good for us, will be given to us in the right time. But this is where we have to trust you, and that can be so challenging for us, Father. But before we ask for anything, we want to praise you. We want to praise you, Father, for your power, for your might, for your unconditional love, your pure love, Father. And for those of us who have a fallen human nature, it's difficult difficult for us to understand. It's difficult for us to understand who you are and how you can love unconditionally. So we just stand in awe of you, of your power, of your love, and we recognize that anything that we present to you, any situation in our lives, is totally within your control. There is no problem that will ever catch you by surprise or that you can't handle. So with that in mind, Father, we ask you to bless us and our families and our friends. We ask you to give us what we need this day, both spiritually and materially. Father, we ask you to grant us the grace to be able to remain free from sin. We pray for the desire to do your will more than anything else. And Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit on me this day. Grant me a new outpouring, an awakening of the Holy Spirit, so that I can deliver the message that you have for us today. Help me get out of your way so you can speak through me. And Father, I ask you finally to open up all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we would be receptive to the message you have and be willing to put it into practice. And Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and you are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. We are today going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Easter. Some good ones. And you know, this is just such a great message that we get throughout the Easter season. It's a message of hope. And it's a message that we really need to focus on, because if we truly understand what took place at the resurrection of the Lord and what it means for us, man, we are not ever going to be sad. We are always going to be filled with peace. But it's a process, you know, and don't be too hard on yourself if you're struggling. You might be having a bad day. I totally understand that. Let's just look at the readings. Let's let the Lord speak to us through these readings and see what happens. And again, don't beat yourself up. It is a process. As long as you try, as long as you ask the Holy Spirit to help you prior to hearing these readings, if you're going to hear them at Mass or if you're going to read them yourself, and then let the Holy Spirit work to open up your heart and open up your mind so that you can get the direct message for you. And that's the beautiful thing about Scripture. The Lord speaks to each of us individually. And your message, what you get out of it, might be a little different than what I get out of it. And that's the great thing about having this connection, this encounter with the Lord through Scripture. Hey, I want to let you know, if you want to find out more about my work, including getting a copy of my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, or signing up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the best place to do that is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com. I also want to let you know that I am available to come out to your parish or your conference to give a talk, a retreat, a parish mission. Now that things are opening up a little bit, I'm starting to get some inquiries about speaking, which is a really good thing. I've been off the road for over a year due to the pandemic, but things are starting to open up for later in the year. I'm going to be traveling to Wisconsin in May, and then I'll be in Connecticut in September. Then I'm working on some things for next year as well. If you want to bring me into your parish, maybe let's set up a parish mission for Give Up Worry for Lent for 2022. I have openings. If you want to do that, just visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And we'll see what we could do. Okay. Let's look at these readings for today. Again, these are good ones. And as you know, if you're a new listener, you may not know, but I'll just tell you what we do on this program. I always lead with the gospel. The gospel, the church teaches, has a place of prominence among all of the other books of the Bible. So I like to start with the gospel and then read the other mass readings after that, so we can let the other readings support the gospel. So here we go. Luke chapter 24, the very final chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 48. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, this is the story of the travelers on the road to Emmaus. These two disciples, one named Clopas, the other unnamed, and they don't know they're walking with Jesus. I mean, it's just a great story. And eventually they get it. He reveals them himself, his identity to them in the breaking of the bread. And now they went to see the other apostles, and they're letting them know that they encountered the risen Jesus. So that's where this reading picks up. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst. And of course, we're talking about Jesus, and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Now, this is Jesus appearing to them, and they're startled. Because, you know, they're still reeling from the resurrection. And one of the incredible things, if you have read any of the gospel readings, especially over the week between Easter, the week, the octave of Easter, if you looked at any of the gospel readings, we hear story after story, the gospel readings from daily mass, I should say, story after story of people who just didn't expect Jesus to really rise from the dead. And these are people who knew what he said. They knew that he said he would die and he would rise from the dead on the third day, but yet they didn't expect it. And they're terrified. They see him. They think they're seeing a ghost. And Jesus said to them, and this is a question really that he should ask each one of us, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts?" I really think that's a question we all need to answer. Why are you troubled? Why do you have questions? Do you not trust me? You know, and really, that's a question that we should answer. And it's okay to tell Jesus you don't trust him. He already knows. It's not like we're keeping a secret from him. But by being honest with him, our relationship can grow to the next level. And he said, "Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. That's amazing. The risen Jesus is still able to eat. Now, it's the glorified body of Christ is a little bit different. And we don't really fully understand what this glorified body that we will all have one day really looks like. But obviously, there are some features, characteristics that are similar to his pre-crucifixion body. It's not entirely different. And, you know, this is a mystery. We're never going to be able to fully figure this out. But Jesus is able to eat. And obviously, he's able to speak, because they hear his voice. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So you see this, the idea of our minds, their minds, our minds being open to the scriptures. And this is why we ask the Holy Spirit, where we should, before we read scripture, to help us understand what it is that we are about to read. You are able, just let me just talk about this briefly. Now, as Catholics, if we read scripture, we are not told line by line, word by word, this means this and this means that. And the church doesn't do that. The church gives us a framework, a body of teaching we have. And as long as we are not going against anything that the church teaches with our interpretation of scripture, then we're free to interpret it as we see fit. And this is how the Holy Spirit can touch you and I differently through the same reading. But if I look at Jesus at the Last Supper, saying, this is my body and this is my blood, and determine from that, well, he's not speaking literally, that it's not really his blood, body and blood. In other words, going against the Catholic teaching of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. If that's my interpretation, well, then I'm wrong. Then I'm not interpreting that correctly. But for everything else, you and I can get a slightly different spin or message out of the gospel or out of any of the books of the Bible. And that's because it's a dynamic. It's not just a book. It's a relationship, and this is how God speaks to us. But what the Lord is saying to his followers here is that he had to suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance, which is the topic we're going to be talking about today, that conversion, that change of heart for the forgiveness of sins, would be preached in his name to all the nations. And you're going to see the beginning of that in our first reading. So let's look at that now. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and we begin in verse 13. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has brought to fulfillment what he has announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer. Repent." See, there's that message. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." You know, this idea of encountering Jesus, surrendering your life to him, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, this requires an action on our part. I can't accept him as my Savior unless I acknowledge that I have something to be saved from. So there is this idea that I have to admit that I'm a sinner. A lot of times we struggle with that. Well, I'm not that bad. Well, you know, it's all relative. If I compare myself to the person down the street, you know, we always selectively choose people who make us look better. I'm going to pick somebody who's a real jerk. Let me compare myself to that guy. And then all of a sudden I start looking good. No, we need to compare ourselves to Jesus. I don't like it any more than you do, but that's the way we're going to grow. What did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Remember, for a while, that was a big thing. What would Jesus do in this situation? When I start comparing myself to Jesus, I recognize that I have work to do. So repentance, conversion, that's all part of the encounter with Christ. We don't want to meet Christ and not respond. You know, it's good to have a relationship. We need to have a relationship with him. We need to encounter him every day in some way through prayer, through scripture, through the sacraments. But it needs to change us. Otherwise, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And you know, this isn't easy for me because I tend to just like to, when I do my spiritual reading or I'm reading the Bible, there are times when I say, yeah, that sounds really good. Good point. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be, all right, good point. But what does Gary need to do now? And that's the part that's challenging for me. So, you know, you just go, yes, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Okay. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to get out of this? And then you have to do it. And that's where it gets a little tricky, but that's how you grow in your relationship with the Lord. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 4. "Lord, let your face shine on us. When I call, answer me, O my just God, you who relieve me when I am in distress. Have pity on me. Hear my prayer. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart." And it's one of the, I like that message there, because typically when we think of conversion, we think we're going to be miserable, right? all my fun has to go out the window. I can't have fun anymore. I must convert. But what we fail to recognize, isn't it funny the way we think? What we fail to recognize is that by by following God's will, by imitating Jesus and following the will of the Father. In other words, by not committing sin, even though there are times when we think, well, now I'm not going to have any fun if I can't sin. But yet what's really causing us the misery in our lives and the lack of peace is the fact that we're sinning, that we're not doing what God wants us to do. So when we do his will, when we do things his way, he knows what makes us happy. He knows what brings joy into our lives because he made us. We look for it in the wrong places. But when we follow his commands, when we do things his way, he will put gladness into our hearts. And until you do it, you don't really get it. That's what I found. You have to just do it. And you start doing it and you realize, you know, this makes me feel good. But again, it's a gradual process. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes and the more peace you will have. As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. Yeah, once you commit your life to the Lord, you start following his will, you are able to sleep better. O Lord, bring security to my dwelling. Lord, let your face shine on us. And he will. He will. If you seek the Lord in prayer, if you seek to do his will, you're going to have a closer encounter with him. You're going to get to know him better. He will respond. The second reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. Oh boy, here we go. See that repentance theme? Turn away from sin. Say you're sorry for your sins. And you know, many people go to confession. Maybe they've been away from it for a long time. They go back to confession during Lent. If you haven't done that, or if you are not in the habit of going on a regular basis, you might really want to consider that. It's an amazing sacrament. And when you struggle, you know, a lot of times we fail in our quest to be holy and to not commit sin. We fail because we're trying to do it on our own. But the Lord never expected us to do it on our own. When we go to confession, not only are our sins forgiven, but we get the grace to overcome this tendency to commit these sins, especially when it comes to the same old sins over and over again. You go to confession, you get grace, and the grace you receive helps you gradually to eliminate or, you know, lessen the frequency of these sins in your life. I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments, are liars. Ouch. John doesn't mince words, does he? They are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God, is truly perfected in him. Do I know God? Do I know his son, Jesus? Well, am I following his commandments? Am I doing what he said? According to John, who's an apostle, who is certainly in a position to tell us, according to him, that's the way we can be sure we know God, is to keep his commandments. If we want to be sure we know Jesus Christ, keep his commandments. And again, it's a process. You're going to have these moments where you fail. That's okay. It's part of the process. It's part of the process, and it reminds us that we can't do this on our own. And that's what God wants us to remember, that we can't do this on our own. That this isn't just willpower alone. This is a combination of grace and willpower. He expects us to turn to him and to ask for help, and then to do our best, right? To do our best to cooperate with the grace that he gives us. And if we do that, even when we mess up, we're going to continually grow closer to Him. What the Lord's looking for is desire. And He can read that desire in each of our hearts. So, you know, keep trying. Keep trying. Repent. Say, admit it when you sin. I'm sorry, Lord. And, you know, make it a habit to start going to confession on a regular basis if you can. And then let that conversion take place. It's really good as you feel it happening. I know I've experienced it. I still have a long way to go, but I've noticed a change in me. And that's by letting the Holy Spirit work. The Holy Spirit does tremendous work in us if we give Him permission to work in us. Okay, so there you got it. This time went fast today. It was a lot of fun being with you. And I want to thank you for... I have a couple minutes. I want to thank you for your financial support. And to let you know how important it is to me, I mentioned earlier on, I'm struggling to find speaking work still because a lot of churches are not open yet. And they're afraid to commit to bringing in speakers because they don't know where this pandemic is going. Now, it seems to be getting better. Things seem to be opening a little bit. But your financial support is so much needed, and you're sustaining me. So I'm grateful for all your contributions. If you would like to contribute to my ministry, the best place to do it is right through my website, followingthetruth.com. I could always use some new monthly sponsors. And, you know, that's the type of thing you're not locked in for. You can cancel after 1 month. Not a big deal. You're not committed for any period of time. But it just allows me to budget a little bit more if you're able to become a monthly sponsor. If you're not comfortable with that for whatever reason, you can make a one-time donation. And you do all of that by going to followingthetruth.com and just clicking on donate. And then you could donate securely through PayPal. And again, I'm really grateful for your support. I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm grateful for the fact that you show up and listen to this program. I really am. And I'm grateful to the many Catholic radio stations across the United States who carry the program, in addition to the podcast services that offer it as a podcast. So I'm just blessed to be here, and I want to thank you, and I hope to be able to continue this journey with you for a long time to come. I'm going to do my best to show up each week, and I hope you will as well. Now, if you have any questions or any concerns, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's gary@followingthetruth.com. That's my email address. And I pray for you every day. I want you to know that I pray for you every day. And I can really use your prayers, too. So if you keep praying for me and my family, we would very much appreciate that. So I'm getting ready to get on out of here. I hope you have a fantastic week. Don't forget, if you're interested in listening to my daily podcast, it's called Following the Truth. It's Monday through Friday. 30 minutes each day. You can find that at all of your standard podcast sources if you want to download that. It's similar to this show in format, but a little bit different too. Also, don't forget my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. For any of that, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Have a fantastic week. Thanks for listening. God bless you. And God willing, I'll be back with you next week on the Gary Zimek Show. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.